Okay, so we'll start out like we have all the other sessions with a little bit of meditation, and then the teachings, and then some question and answer. Yeah. Did you do your homework? I have to ask you first. Oh, I saw one head nod. Who did their homework? One, come on. Okay, two, who else did their homework? Three, four, five, six. Some of you didn't do it? Now, what happens when your children don't do their homework? Okay, so your homework was to be kind to a family member, to kind of go out of your way and try and be kind or talk to them or, you know, connect with them. So when you make some effort to do that, did you see some response? Was there some change? Yeah? What happened? Okay, the other person responded with kindness. Yeah, yeah. So it's a very nice method just to, you know, really try instead of always saying, oh, the other person should change and they should apologize to me first and they should be nice to me. Instead of all that, us making the effort and extending ourselves, yeah, and just keep on doing it and see what happens, yeah? It's funny, I'll just tell you this one story before we start the meditation. One time I was giving a similar kind of teaching in the U.S., because one man had said during the teachings that he was having such a hard time with one of his colleagues, you know, and that there was just, he just didn't get along well with this colleague at all. And so I gave the whole group this homework assignment to, you know, just try being nice to somebody and especially to try and say to point out somebody's good qualities to them, you know, to just make a habit instead of criticizing people to point out their good qualities. So everybody had this homework assignment that every day that next week, because the course met once a week, they had to, you know, say something nice about somebody. So the next week, as we were coming in, this one man who was having such a hard time with his colleague, we were coming into the place at the same time. And so I said, well, how did it go, you know, with your colleague that you don't get along with? Did you, you know, do your homework assignment? And he said, well, yeah, the first day, you know, I tried to find something good about him, and it was really hard, so I made something up. And I said it, even though it was made up. And then the next day, I also said something nice to him, but that time I really meant it. And what happened over the whole week was that every time he said something nice to this colleague, his colleague, you know, of course, changed his whole attitude and started being nice to him. And so by the end of the week, he said it was very easy to say something nice about his colleague to him. Yeah? So it just shows, you know, if we exert some effort, a whole relationship can turn around. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you forgot your homework tonight, last night, then do it tonight, okay? And if you did it last night, do it again tonight and see what happens, okay? So let's start out with a little bit of meditation. Let's generate our motivation. And rejoice at our precious human life. Rejoice that we have the opportunity to listen to the Buddha's teachings, to put them into practice, to transform our hearts and minds. Let's get a feel of our human potential, that we have the possibility of developing impartial love and compassion for all beings, that we have the capacity to realize the nature of reality and thus eliminate all the ignorance, craving, and animosity that keeps us bound in cyclic existence and in constantly recurring problems. And so, rejoicing at our opportunity, let's make a strong determination to use it wisely. And in particular, to really listen attentively and take the teachings to heart, so that we can put them into practice in our daily life. And to do this with the long-term motivation of attaining full enlightenment for the benefit of all living beings. So generate that motivation. And then slowly open your eyes and come out of your meditation. Yesterday, I spoke a little bit about the defects of being self-centered. Yeah. And hopefully, you know, if you can contemplate these and remember them, then it comes in very, very helpful in your daily life. One example of this is sometimes we have mishaps in communication with other people, or sometimes other people, for whatever reason, they don't treat us so well. They may lie to us, they may betray our trust, things like this. You know, it happens. We're in cyclic existence, so these kind of things happen. And when these things happen, it's very tempting for us to get really upset and blame the other person and say, oh, I trusted this person so much and they betrayed it and they lied to me and they cheated me and they did this and they did that and oh, they're such an awful person, and, you know, go on and on and on and on about the other person. And when we do that, we're really stuck in our own self-centeredness, and we make ourselves more and more miserable as we contemplate the other person's faults and blame them more and more. Why do we get miserable? Because we can't change their faults, can we? So the more we focus on what we consider somebody else's faults, the more we feel like a victim who is powerless because we can't change their faults. And so that is, you know, that feeling of helplessness puts us in a victim mentality. It makes us quite upset. Yeah, it doesn't do very much good for us or for anybody else. But another way of viewing the situation could really transform our whole emotional reaction to it. So instead of seeing the situation as somebody else's fault, and they did this and they did that, to say, okay, the other person did these unkind things, but why did they do them to me? The principal cause was my own negative karma that I created in a previous life. Okay, so this other person did a mistaken action. We're not saying that they're bad behavior is good, but we are recognizing that we experienced the result of their bad behavior. We were the object of their bad behavior because of our own bad behavior in previous times. Okay? So then we have to say, okay, somebody's lying to me. Why do people lie to me? Well, it's because I've lied to other people. And initially, our ego says, no, I haven't lied to anybody. And then we sit with it a little bit long and we go, well, maybe little lies. And then we look a little bit more and we realize that we've told some pretty big lies in our life. Yeah? For whatever reason, usually self-centered reason, aren't they? Yeah, like I was saying yesterday, we don't say, I'm going to lie to benefit everybody in the universe. We're always lying to protect ourselves or to get something for ourselves. So the result of lying is that people lie to us. Okay. Or the result of, another result of lying is that even when we tell the truth, people don't believe us. So when we encounter these results that we don't like, of people not believing us or people lying to us, instead of blaming the other person, to look and say, this is the result of my own self-centered thought. There's no sense blaming the other person. I have to blame my own self-centered thought. Okay? And so when we do that, then we come to see that our own self-centered thought is our biggest enemy. And it's also the biggest thing that deceives us, because our selfish mind puts on this big show as if it's going to be our friend and look out for our welfare. And yet, every single unethical action we've ever done has been motivated by our self-centered mind. Okay? Whenever we've stolen something, yeah, anybody here who's never stolen something, even as a kid, you know, we've all done things like that. You know, why? Looking out for our own selfish benefit. Now, why do we lie to people? Same reason. Why do we talk bad behind their back or shout at them to their face? Now, why do we spend hours gossiping? You know, it all boils down to the self-centered thought. So when we see that, and we see that the, you know, our any unhappy results we experience are due to our own actions, our own karma, and that all of our negative karma is the result of motivations prompted by the self-centered thought, then we can trace our own suffering back to the self-centered thought and point the finger at it. Okay? So this method of thinking is actually very helpful when we have different problems. Okay? Because it prevents us from getting angry at other people. Because when we get angry at other people, we only create more negative karma, don't we? Yeah, we might be right, but when we're angry, we still create negative karma. Yeah, and the anger's fed by the self-centered thought. So, you know, in this way, if we really look, we can see the disadvantages of the self-centered thought in our own life. Yeah, and it comes, you know, on a daily basis whenever we experience something unpleasant, to trace it back to our own negative karma, which we did due to the self-centered thought. So again, this doesn't mean we hate ourselves. It doesn't mean we blame ourselves in the same way as we used to blame somebody else for our problems. But what it does mean is that we take responsibility for the events that happen in our life and the circumstances that we face. And instead of blaming others, we realize it comes from our own self-centeredness. And if we really want to be happy, then we have to be very attentive. And when the self-centered mind arises, to, you know, kick it out and not follow it. Yeah. usually when the self-centered mind arises, we follow its instructions. Yeah, self-centered mind says scream at somebody and we scream. Okay, self-centered mind says slam the door and walk out on them and we slam the door and walk out on them. Okay, so usually we follow the self-centered mind, but that just leads us to so many problems in our life. Yeah? So when we recognize this, then we don't follow it. So in the Buddhist scriptures, they often say that the self-centered attitude is like a big thief. Yeah. If a thief comes in your house, do you say, sit down, have a cup of tea, would you like some biscuits? You know? Are you nice to a thief that's in your house and ask him to hang around and stay a little bit longer? And, oh, you took my television set, but you forgot to take the computer. Here, take my computer too. Yeah. And here's my bank book, you know, and here's a blank check. Yeah. Do you do this when a thief comes in your house? I hope not. Okay. But when the self-centered thought comes into our mind, you know, when we just let it come in and do whatever it wants and run the show, it's just like, you know, welcoming a thief into our house. Because the self-centered mind just steals away all of our virtue. It destroys our good karma. It makes so many problems for us and other people. Actually, it makes more problems than a thief, because a thief only harms us this life, but our self-centered thought makes us create negative karma that will harm us in future lives. Okay? So when we really see this clearly, then when that thought comes up to just look out for ourselves, we immediately cut it off in our mind. And we replace it instead by the thought that wishes to cherish others. Okay. And so to replace it by the wish to cherish others, we have to first see the advantages of cherishing others. Okay. Now, we all want others to cherish us, don't we? Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody cherished us? Yeah. So looking at it from that viewpoint, we want others to cherish us because we see that we would be happy. Well, by the same token, if we cherish others, it creates happiness in their lives. And there's so many others. There's only one of me, and there's infinite number, countless number of other living beings. So if we really want to create happiness in the world, then we cherish others because there's so many of them. And His Holiness Dalai Lama always counsels us that if we want to be happy ourselves, the best way is to cherish others. Yeah. So why is that? Because then when we cherish others, they're happy, and then we live in a world with happy people. If we only cherish ourselves, then we do many things that make other people unhappy, and then we have to live with unhappy people. Do you want to live with unhappy people? It's not much fun, is it? Yeah. So, in a family, living, you know, being very mean to a family member, and then that family member is unhappy, then we have to live that with that unhappy family member. In society, if we look down on other groups in society, maybe other religious groups or ethnic groups or racial groups or socioeconomic groups, whatever it is, but if we cut off some groups from the opportunity to have a good livelihood and to have happiness in society, then those people are going to be unhappy, and then we're going to live in a society with unhappy people. And what happens when people in society are unhappy? There's demonstrations, there's protests, there's riots, there's all sorts of social unease. Yeah. But when everybody in a society takes care of each other and creates a more equal society where there's jobs and health care and so on and so forth for everybody, then other people in the society are happy, so everybody lives peacefully. So we see very clearly here the benefits of cherishing others. It really comes back to us because we live in a happy society. You know, in the U.S., people don't understand this very well. And so, for example, in many towns, when there is a measure on the ballot to increase taxes in order to build more schools or to enhance education programs, many taxpayers don't want to vote for tax increases because they say, why should I pay for somebody else's children to go to school? You know, they can pay for their own children to go. I shouldn't have to pay taxes for their children to go to school. Well, what happens is when children don't get a good education and when children don't have good extracurricular activities after school, then they get in a lot of trouble, don't they? And they break into houses, they paint graffiti over the town, they get involved in drinking and drugging and all sorts of unhappy things. And then when these same children, because they didn't get a good education and they didn't have good extracurricular activities and they got into drugs and alcohol, then of course when they're adults, they do bigger crimes and they wind up in prison. And then the taxpayers are very happy to spend money to build more prisons. Yeah? And so in the U.S., prisons is a huge industry now. Seriously. It's not just government prisons. They've started letting private companies run the prisons. So some prisons are run for profit. And they have to show earnings for their shareholders. It's horrible. It's really, really dreadful. Okay, but the taxpayers are very happy to build more prisons. Yeah, but they're not happy to prevent citizens from becoming criminals by giving them a good education when they're children. Okay, so do you see how people aren't thinking very clearly? I can say this about my own country, yeah? Very often people don't think clearly and they're just looking in the short term for what's beneficial. And in the long term, you know, what happens is more unhappiness for themselves and others because they were thinking initially and acting out of the self-centered thought. Okay? So when we see this in our personal lives or in society, then we really see why it's so important to not be self-centered, okay? Because the result comes back to us right away in this life, and it also comes back to us in future lives, and it also inhibits us from attaining liberation and enlightenment. Whereas cherishing other sentient beings brings about the exact opposite result. When we cherish them and we act kind towards them, then they're happy. Then we have happiness in our family. Yeah, we have happiness amongst the various groups in society. We have more equality among nations in the world. And so therefore we have more peace and less war. Okay? So there's so many benefits that come from cherishing others. And also, when we cherish others, we create so much good karma. And then we become the ones who experience the result of that good karma. So every time we have happiness in our lives, it's because we created some good karma. And our good karma is mostly created because we thought of benefiting others. Okay? So when there's a chance to cheat somebody in business, we think, you know, of the faults of the self-centeredness and the benefits of cherishing others, and then we don't cheat. Yeah? We do honest business. When we do our business in an honest way, then our clients and our customers trust us, and they're going to come back. When we do business in a dishonest way, and there's bribery and all this kind of stuff going on, then you don't sleep well at night because you know you've done something dishonest that you could get arrested and imprisoned for. Yeah. And if you think it's not going to happen to you, just ask some of the American CEOs who are in prison right now. Okay? So the whole point is that having a kind heart towards others just creates happiness now and in the future. And so it's quite a wonderful practice. Okay. Now, like I've said before, you know, having a kind heart towards others, being loving and compassionate and acting for their welfare, it doesn't mean that you always do what they want you to do. Okay? Because sometimes people are confused about what's going to bring them happiness, and they want things that are actually counterproductive. Yeah. So really caring about other people sometimes means that you have to risk their being unhappy with you. Mm-hmm. Okay? Parents know this. Yeah? When you're a parent, you can't be in a popularity contest to win your child's friendship. Okay? That's not the job of a parent, is to win a popularity contest with your kids. You know, your job is to help your kids be good citizens and to help them be happy people. And in doing so, you have to teach them how to deal with the frustration of not always getting what they want. Yeah, and to do that, sometimes you have to tell them no when what they're wanting is something unreasonable or something damaging. And so then your kid, you know, doesn't like you, and they may yell and scream and call you names. But you know that you're really acting for their benefit in the long run. Okay? So this applies in many areas in our life, too. Yeah? If you're at work and there's a colleague who doesn't, you know, isn't doing their job properly, you need to go to them and tell them, you know, what the expectations are. But then you also need to help them get the skills to be able to do the job properly. Okay? So, you know, sometimes to help somebody, we may have to say things that they initially don't like to hear. But if we have the courage to say those things and then help the people solve their own difficulties, then very often later they come back and thank us. Okay? Even though at the time they might not have been very happy with us. Okay? So lots of benefit from cherishing others.